Hi, I'm John Elias.
And Jackson from Montreal, Canada.
You're listening to the IVND podcast.
Go Cubs, go!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVMB podcast. This is our 395th episode. We're just a few from number 400. We'll hit that milestone here in a few weeks. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hello, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
Just like our last episode, because of rainouts, we only have two Cubs games to talk about, but we have plenty of topics to cover on this episode. We're going to recap the month of April and look ahead to the month of May. We're going to look at some individual performances that we've kind of neglected on the podcast recently. We have scary stats and internet muscle flexes and lots more on this episode. If you've been frustrated by trying to buy tickets online for sporting events or concerts, most sites are complicated and they try to sneak in huge fees when you check out. If that's been your experience, then you need to try SeatGeek. They've made it easier than ever to buy and sell tickets. So here's what they do. They pull all of the tickets from other websites that are available. And so they're really the only place that you need to go. Every ticket is given a grade based on the value. So it shows you the best deals for all of the available tickets. And their site allows you to view those seats before you purchase them, which is pretty convenient with Wrigley's obstructed views and other ballparks that you're maybe not familiar with. SeatGeek is always upfront and honest about the price. The price you see is what you pay when you check out. And the best part is that our listeners get a $20 rebate from their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the free SeatGeek app. Go to settings and tap on add a promo code. Enter the promo code IVY. It's all capital letters, IVY. And after you've made your first purchase, SeatGeek will send you $20. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code IVY today. So, Andy, I have a question for you. Yeah. I don't think you're going to see this coming. So, guest conductors of the seventh inning stretch are often criticized. Well, the idea itself is, it's debatable whether or not it's a good idea to have guest conductors. The most recent culprit is Warren G. And most listeners would not expect this, but pretty much for as long, almost our entire friendship, I've known you to be a huge Warren G fan. So what do you think?
Let's calm it down on the huge part. I remember listening to him in the car with my track friends in high school, and that's about it. I don't think I own.
Did you call yourselves the Regulators?
Yeah, and we always said mount up and stuff. I don't think I own a single Warren G record. Still, I could spit some orangey bars though if I needed to.
So what do you think
it's
about everybody?
Fortunate that the worst of all time are people who made their living in the music industry, like Ozzy Osbourne, Warren G. They just like, oh wait, what did these people do? They're comedian. No, they're musicians.
I would say also though to that is that some of the finest stretch performances have been by musicians as well.
Yeah,
one would hope.
But I actually haven't heard the Warren G stretch.
No,
but I saw somebody wrote an article in defense of it though.
I heard half of it and then muted it, so I guess I can't say that I've really heard it either. I usually mute them before they start because I'm a staunch opponent to the whole guest appearance thing. I hate it, and it just ruins the whole thing for me. So I usually mute it.
So either somebody canceled today or just to bring the fans back from the brink, they played Harry Carey on on the video board today for the stretch. That was probably a good call.
Kurt, I think the strategy that you take, that's what I do too. As soon as the middle of the seventh comes up, that's my restroom break. That's time to go do something else. I don't even bother listening to it. And I think that, I understand why fans don't like it. I don't like it. But then again, like, I think it's really hard to come up with an alternative when, like, Harry Caray made it what it is, and nothing's really going to feel right. Harry Caray on the video board, I don't think that's going to necessarily feel right. It might feel right if they do it like 3 or 4 times a year or something like that. I think if they did it every day, that would seem a little bit stale. I think, you know, having the guest conductors up there, it seems like in years past, like years ago, you couldn't even hear the guest conductors when you were at the ballpark, but now you can. I mean, I've noticed recently that you can, but I just, maybe just every once in a while, just have an organ and don't have anybody leading it. Or I mean, I think we've said this before, but I think having like Link Casper lead it, or somebody just kind of step into that role of Harry Caray, that's the regular person that does it. I kind of like that idea.
Yeah, I'd be fine with just, you know, fans singing it. It's played over the PA organ, and that's enough, you know.
Guys, just be thankful that we're not fans of a team that sings God Bless America on the stretch. Because I think some teams still do that. I mean, it's all right, fine, do it before the anthem at the beginning, but, you know, 7 innings into the game, let's stretch it out and sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Well, yeah. When we went to see the Rangers at spring training, I was really pleased, not really, in a sarcastic way, I guess, that they follow up the 7th inning stretch with Cotton Eye Joe, which is exactly what they did when I went to a Rangers game in Arlington. And so I guess maybe that's one of their traditions.
Well, that sounds like a fantastic tradition. You should always feel like you're at a Joe's Crab Shack when you go to the ballpark.
So the month of April has ended, and it's been a historic month for the Cubs. They have the best record in baseball, now 17-6 with today's loss, and they had 17 wins in the month of April, which is an organizational record. So pretty dang successful. I mean, with losing Kyle Schwarber, you have to be, except for that, you have to be pretty happy with how April's turned out.
Yeah, so they tied the record for most wins in April, which was 17. They also did that in 2008, and it's kind of a bummer they had 2 rainouts this week, which you would think hurts them because they're obviously hot right now. So you'd rather play those games now than postpone them to later when you hope you're still playing this well, but you never know. So they could have easily gotten to that 18th win and set the all-time record, but instead they just tied. You can't complain about a 17 month win. Sorry, my dyslexia is kicking in there, but
yeah. And we kind of talked about the Cubs schedule being pretty easy in the month of April, and while it kind of seems like it was, if you look at the teams on paper, but actually it was kind of in the middle of the pack as far as strength of schedule goes. Their strength of schedule, they ranked 18th out of the 30 teams. So it's not like it was a total cakewalk, but I mean, you look at the teams and it was clearly kind of an easy month, an easier month. But looking ahead to the month of May, things are going to be tougher.
Yeah, I wouldn't have expected it to be that, you know, in the middle of the pack. I would have thought it would have been near the bottom. But at any rate, if you're thinking that it seemed like an easy row to hoe for the Cubs in March, and that, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, in March, in April, and that tougher times were coming, you would be right. Because coming up, the Cubs, they start on the road with their garish suits to face the Pirates for 3. And they're going to also then face the Pirates at home eventually here too. But the Pirates, they're coming in and they're going to be facing, like, the matchups for the pitching are Hamill versus Cole, Arrieta versus Nice, and Lester versus Nicasio. And their rotation's pretty good. I like the Cubs' chances in game 2, as Nice has been susceptible to the long ball. He's given up 7 home runs, and opponents are hitting pretty well against him, even though he's still 3-0. Outside of Cole, though, Nicasio has probably been the Pirates' best starter, so I expect this series to be pretty tough, with that game that's Hamill versus Cole being pretty tough to win. But anyway, so that's the first series coming up here, post Braves. And I just think that the Pirates and the Nationals, I mean, this is going to be a great test for the Cubs. You know, I already talked about their pitching being good. Their hitting has also been good. The Pirates are hitting for average. They lead the league in average and on base percentage. And that is with McCutchen having a bit of a slow start. He's hitting .227 with 26 strikeouts. The Pirates as a team are hitting .290 with a .375 OBP. And the Cubs are second in OBP with .359. And it's interesting to look at the lineup, too. The Pirates have two switch hitters available, which sounds pretty familiar. And they can vary the lineup much like the Cubs. So I think the Pirates are going to be a tough team on the Cubs. And hopefully they really are able to rise to the challenge and come out of this April and play well in May. The Nationals also are going to be a tough team to play. They're in town for four to round out this upcoming week. And that series kicks off a 10-game homestand, including three against the Padres and then three against the Pirates. The Nationals' rotation is kind of daunting, as they have Max Scherzer. How much Scherzer do we want? Max Scherzer. Tanner Roark, Steven Strasburg, Gio Gonzalez, and the youngster Joe Ross, who is out to a 3-0 start. It's interesting if you look at the numbers. The Cubs rotation has very similar numbers to the Nationals rotation, and in some cases better numbers in some categories. A lot of games against the Pirates, some games against the Nationals, it's going to be a tough month. They also play the three against the Brewers, three against the Giants, and three against the Cardinals, and three against the Phillies as well. They'll round out the month of May against the Dodgers, and that series will spill into June a little bit. But this will be the real test of how strong this team is, I think, the month of May, and hopefully they rise to the challenge.
I guess one good thing about that Pirates series, they're not going to face Liriano. They've kind of shown they have a hard time with guys with really good changeups. And we saw that in person with Liriano. We saw him pitch. Was that all of us together? What game was that? But yeah, we saw Liriano pitch, and like he kind of made him look bad with that changeup. And then a couple guys this year that have really good changeup, they've kind of had a hard time with. So I guess that's one good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could still see him drawing Liriano maybe towards the end of that home
and the second series.
Yeah, but they might still miss him there. I don't know.
Well, I think when you just look at that entire month, you know, with series, you know, like you mentioned, Andy, the Pirates, Nationals, the Pirates again, the Giants, the Cardinals, the Dodgers. I mean, I think that this is going to be the month where we'll really find out what this team is. I think we have a pretty good idea of what it is based on what they've done, you know, to teams. And I kind of going back to that, you know, them ranking 18th in strength of schedule, they may, I mean, it's such a, you know, it's just one month. So that there is a small sample size. But then, you know, you look at the fact that the Reds played pretty well, except for when they were playing the Cubs. So, I mean, there's like things like that can really skew it when you're just looking at a single month. But I think we'll find out more of what this team is. And honestly, I just think we'll be like, I think the things that they've done well and the things that have kind of defined them as a team don't seem necessarily like things that just be like signs of a small sample size. You know what I mean? Like the way that they've drawn walks. Now you might have individual games where you're facing a pitcher that can really paint those outside pitches. And I think maybe looking back, you know, you mentioned Kurt, that game that we saw there in September against when the Cubs faced Liriano. And I think that's kind of what was going on, was that he was getting the borderline pitches called strikes. And I think that we'll see like individual games maybe this month where the Cubs don't look so great and they take a lot of like called strike threes and stuff like that. But overall, I think that just as a theme of what this team, or it just the characteristics of what this team is, I think that we'll see that continue. I mean, I can kind of see, I think it's more likely that we will, you know, obviously lose more games in May than they did in April. I say we like I'm on the Cubs. I hate it when people do that. I'm sorry.
It's hard not to do.
Right. But I think that we'll have a better idea of what the team is. And I think that we could actually be more confident in the team, even if they happen to lose a few more games, just because we're going to see them playing such stronger competition.
That's a good point, Corey. I think that April really is part and parcel as far as the Cubs' identity. It's not like we're going to see crazy new trends or developments as far as what they've done so far. I think that what they've done so far, we're going to see continue in many ways. But that being said, I mean, I do hope to see some things, you know, tick in a positive direction for sure. That haven't gone well so far.
Well, but I think those things are the things that you're probably okay. So, like, if April's success would have been driven by the long ball or, you know, just power, like, that's the kind of thing that to me would say, like, well, let's see what happens when that power is not there. But the fact that they haven't really relied on power completely, and it's been doing things like, you know, really just like, stringing hits together and stuff like that. I mean, I think that stuff carries over more than power. And so like the things that you might be looking for and thinking, well, we didn't really see these things in April and it would be nice to see them in May. Like, I think those are things that can kind of happen and are more likely to happen in warmer months and things like that.
The Cubs are kind of middle of the pack as far as home runs are concerned. I would have expect them to be closer to the top. And so I think that that number will go up as the season goes on.
Yeah, I think as it warms up and everything. So that's why I mean, like, I think drawing walks and stuff, that's something that I expect to continue throughout the year. Maybe not at the clip that it is right now, but yeah, I think the power will arrive and hopefully we can get, you know, some warm weather in May. And I'm really hoping... it looks like it's supposed to be warm next weekend. So I think that'll really make that national series a lot more fun, you know, because I think those are, you know, probably the two, well, right now they're the two best teams in the National League. And it would just really be a bummer to see the Nationals come to town for four games. And it's like this freaking weather we've had this week with these two series, you know. So hopefully it warms up and we can kind of get some excitement back in the ballpark and, you know, see what the Cubs offense can do against that Nationals pitching.
We can move on. I'm ready. I was just going to say, I think regardless of who they're facing, I think their approach has been dead on. So if you're facing Nationals ace or whoever, or a fifth starter for the Braves, you know, that patient approach is going to pay off.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like you, I mean, you guys kind of basically covered it already, like not just relying on the long ball and continuing just get on base.
Right. I mean,
it'll work.
Yeah. When you're facing Strasburg or anybody else's ace or Garrett Cole, I think the trick is going to be what we've seen them do, which is drive the pitch count up, take a lot of pitches, maybe strike out, but make them throw, you know, anywhere between 6 and 10 pitches for that strikeout and just try to get into the bullpens. And if not, hope by the third time around, you've been able to get a good look at them and try to do some damage. We've been talking quite a bit about a few key players here over the first month of the season. But I think we've kind of left some players out because we've been focusing on specific players. And some of those are in the bullpen. And I think one of the reasons that we're leaving them out is because of starting pitching hasn't really had many outings where they've relied on the bullpen. And then to go along with that, the offense has really produced and hasn't given some of the guys in the bullpen a chance to stand out in high pressure situations or, you know, situations where they're actually fulfilling their role on the team. So I guess let's look at some of these bullpen guys and let's do it in the order that we might see them in a game. So Andy, do you want to talk about Warren?
No, not really. No, just kidding. Yeah, I do. I want to talk about Warren. he's just been really great out of the bullpen because he's been able to give the Cubs multiple innings when needed. He's been effective. He has yet to give up an earned run. And that's maybe partly due to the fact that he's only pitched 8 innings. But in those 8 innings, he struck out 9 while only walking 3. Opponents are hitting .077 against him. So, yeah, he's been solid out of the bullpen.
Which is kind of cool because he did not look that great in spring training. And
yeah, we saw him get hit a few times just in the limited amount of time we were down there. So, yeah, to see him get on track here, it looks to me, he looks like the guy, the type of guy that, yeah, the Cubs could stretch out if they needed to eventually, if they needed another rotation arm for some stupid reason. Anyway, as of right now, great to have in the bullpen.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to talk about Strope. In the month of April, he pitched in 11 games, 9.1 innings, and he had an ERA of 2.89. But really it was just one outing that kind of messed up that number. On the 26th, this week, he faced the Brewers and he gave up 2 earned runs on 1 hit and 2 walks in 2/3 of an inning. I wasn't able to watch that game, but it's been pretty cold here in the last week. And I think you could see a reliever come in the game cold and maybe struggle with control. And, you know, it's difficult to get a good grip when it's that cold. But anyway, so I guess I'm making excuses for that one game that's kind of hurt his numbers a little bit. But in the month of April, opposing batters hit 100 off of him. His strikeout rate is up almost 10% this season when you compare it to 2014 and 2015. He's striking out 40% of the batters he faces. And to put that into context, that's right where Marmol was at his peak with the Cubs. So I kind of feel like that's flown under the radar a bit.
How dare you drop an M-bomb in there? I don't appreciate that.
I said at his peak.
He's like the one guy who's actually had that one slightly bad. Well, he had a bad outing where he gave up a run in what, an inning or something, 2 runs in an inning.
Right. Yeah.
So it's easy to look at like the one guy who's had the one bad outing and just kind of hate on him. But when you look at the whole body of work, he's been really good too.
Yeah. His walk rate is under 10%, which is a slight drop over the last few years. But what really stands out though, and this could kind of be a scary stat. There are so many scary stats. Every stat I looked up, it was directly or something else caught my eye that falls into a scary stat. So I'm apparently taking over for you tonight, Kurt. So you get the week off from this scary stat. But okay. So his, when batters make contact on Strope, he's forcing a ton of ground balls. His ground ball rate in 2014 was 55%. In 2015, it was 51%. Right now, his ground ball rate is 88%.
Wow.
Which, I mean, batters just aren't making solid contact. His line drive rate right now is 6%. That's down from 24 and 19 over the last 2 years. So small sample size, sure. But these are really good signs from Strope. And he's one of those guys that just, I really enjoy any, you know, if I'm listening on the radio and Strope comes in, I come in and watch it on TV because his stuff is just electric and he's energetic. And when he's on, he is really fun to watch, and he's pretty much been on all year.
Yeah. And his stuff is so great. And then to add to that, he also varies the timing of his delivery so much too, that it's just another wrinkle.
Off, I'm just watching on TV.
Just another wrinkle that makes him so entertaining.
Yeah. It's kind of incredible because, you know, you're looking at the this bullpen's pitched the fewest innings of any team in baseball. And so we're going into May basically with another month of spring training under their belt. They haven't been worked. They haven't been taxed. And that's a really good thing going into a really long season. So it's super.
Whereas cool. You look at some of the teams that the Cubs have played and how much they've had to use their bullpen as opposed to how much the Cubs have. And they're just going to be facing, you know, a lot of teams that are tired and worn down when they have a lot of freshness at the back end of a game.
I mean, so fresh, in fact, that, you know, you throw your closer into a 6-1 win because he needs to get some work. You know, Rondon's been just as impressive. And what he pitched, was that Friday in that 6-1 win?
Yeah,
that was Friday. you know, just to get his work in. And so Rondon has only appeared in 7 games and 7 innings. And he's only given up 2 hits. His ERA is 0. He's walked 0. He struck out 12. And again, Rondon did not have a great spring. So that's a kind of another nice turnaround for him. And he's been great as well. I mean, the inning he did pitch on Friday was so quick. It was like if you looked away or you went to the bathroom, it was over. I mean, it was just a handful of pitches. So, yeah, he's been pretty stellar. So, yeah, I mean, so fresh, so good.
Was his outing today his first earned run that he's given up?
You know, well, and that could be because I don't – those stats, you know, if it just happened, those wouldn't have updated in the new – or in the stats I'm looking at. So, and, of course, I didn't watch today's game.
Okay, yeah, I think today was the first earned run he's given up.
Right, and I think hadn't he only given up – you may have said this, Kurt, but before today, hadn't he only given up 2 hits?
Yeah, 2 hits, no runs.
Right.
For today.
So he gave up 2 hits today and got 2 strikeouts. Well, but yeah, his ERA is at 1.13 right now. So,
but not bringing that up.
For all of you hating on Bert right now, it's my anniversary. So no, but today.
Not bringing that up to discount, you know, or to detract from what you're saying is he's this deep into the season and is, you know, just now giving up an earned run. I mean, it just goes to support what you're saying about how good he's been.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's. I think we should get a little bit of credit from our listeners for this being the second week in a row that one of us is podcasting on our anniversary. That's so pathetic.
I'm hoping to be podcasting on my anniversary about a team still playing baseball because mine's in October.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be all right.
Let's hope that you have to podcast on your anniversary.
Yeah, I hope so.
I mean, you don't have to. Let's hope that Kurt and I are here podcasting on your anniversary.
All right, I'll take it.
Yeah, so that's – I've kind of felt like we've just neglected the bullpen recently. So I wanted to make sure that we gave them a little bit of time because they've been pitching really well.
It's just like the fact that they're just so unused so far is only going to help down the stretch,
right?
Because again, like Andy talking about how tough May is, they get into those series and you may have to go to them in the sixth for the first time, you know, like the first time. That's kind of incredible.
Yeah And the fact that they're carrying 9 guys in the bullpen right now too, I mean, that's providing a little bit more rest. So yeah, I you know, Joe Maddon and this entire front office, they know what they're doing. And they had to work a lot to get the bullpen to do what it did last year. And I think their goal this year is to not have to, you know, bring over the
Soriano.
Yes, thank you. I could not remember his name. I was like Rafael.
Fernando Rodney. Yeah. He pitched well, but, you know. Basically, everyone else is washed up closers.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I should correct myself. Actually, I just realized that they did, on purpose, they pulled Hendricks out of that game in the fifth. So it won't be the first time they've used a bullpen in the sixth, but it hasn't been often.
Right. Yeah. So offensively, how about that Caesar Grand Slam?
Oh, man.
How awesome was that?
That was amazing. And then, so you know, awesome. Yeah, that it was so great. And his reaction too, so perfect.
Yeah, I heard the press conference after the game. I listened to it. Maddon talked quite a bit about you know, the biggest difference in Caesar this year is that Caesar now realizes that he is a big league player and that basically he needed to realize that. And he mentioned Maddon mentioned that basically Caesar feels like he belongs and that has given him the confidence to play that, you know, as well as he has been. It's really kind of funny because, you know, a month ago it seemed like Caesar's days were numbered with the Cubs. And if you listen to us, we sure made you think that was the case because it seemed that way. But either he's really solidifying a spot on this team or he's driving up his trade value a bit. But I honestly think Caesar is the type of guy that Maddon likes And I think he may be a fixture on this 2016 team.
Especially with the Schwarber injury. But right. That's a great point. I mean, I think about being a AAA guy and then the, like how long it would take you or what it would take you to feel like you actually belong at the big league level. That has to be a thing that everybody deals with, you know, that is one of those type of players.
Well, and to be,
you know, if you're not a Chris Bryant or a Schwarber or whatever.
Right. And to be somebody like Caesar that went to college and still was fairly slow coming up through the system. You know, it seems like he spent about a year at every level. It taking a while, and then he gets called up. You know, last year he was there some, and it's like, look at this team, like look how stacked it is. And you're thinking like, well, I'm kind of like a fifth outfielder. It would be kind of hard to like see yourself as belonging on that team. And I think Madden's completely right. I mean, just from a distance looking at him, he looks like he's playing like he belongs there. And I think it's really, it's pretty awesome. I think, I mean, those are kind of those like intangible things, but you kind of have a feeling that Madden just really, from all of his years in baseball, that he just really has an understanding of like player psyche and stuff like that. And that I think that, it's really I mean, look at like, I think it's things like that that made Ben Zobrist what he became, you know, and the reputation that he had throughout baseball was Madden showing him that you can be a utility guy and be really one of the most valuable players in baseball, you know, as far as what you bring to a team. And so I kind of feel like these are the types of players that I think Madden works really well with. And I think that it clicks with those
sort players. Of helps them find their identity. Like,
right. Right.
If they're a little bit lost, like he seems really adept at guiding them in the right direction. But yeah, so I mean, were either of you guys going to talk about the bench as a whole? Because I mean, if you're going to talk about Caesar, you guys are going to talk about that.
I hadn't planned to, but as we're talking now, it just keeps sort of ringing in my head that, you know, the bench, him and La Stella and, you know,
Baez,
like a baseball, it's totally a baseball cliche, but the whole, you know, guys take advantage of the opportunities they've been given, and Caesar, La Stella, Baez have all kind of fallen into that.
Yeah, they've been good. I mean, all of them have, you know, small sample size, of course, but all of them are getting on base pretty well. I mean, even Baez is hitting 310, 355 OBP. Zobrist, of course. Not Zobrist. Good Lord. Heaven help us. Tommy La Stella hitting 357 with a 455 OBP. And they've just been really good overall, and a big part of the Cubs' success, this bench.
Well, yeah. And I think one of the hardest things to do and is, you know, you sit for 5-6 innings and all of a sudden you have to grab a bat and go out and take an at bat. Like, that's got to be really difficult. And one thing that, as a fan, when you see La Stella come to the plate, you're not like, oh, crap. You know, like, we got another pinch hitter and he just, you know, he's better than a pitcher, but he's not great. But you throw La Stella in there or even Caesar, it definitely takes away that sort of pinch hitter anxiety that I'm sure a lot of teams have.
Right.
You know, like you just, did you say La Stella's OBP was like 455?
Yeah.
That's insane. I mean, he worked that walk and then eventually they scored that one run to tie the game.
Friday, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. At this point, the bench has just been outstanding.
By the way, today I think was La Stella's first strikeout.
Yeah. I wanted to bring that. I thought about that being my scary stat of the week, is the fact that, like, until today, he had not struck out yet this season.
And so that is in 28 at bats, which that's ridiculous. 33 plate appearances, 28 at bats. He has only one strikeout.
and Caesar's strikeout rate is only 10%, which is really good. I mean, it falls into the excellent range, if you know. And I think if the Cubs have guys that can produce like this coming off the bench and starting once or twice a week, this is really going to help this team. And we saw that, you know, on Friday with La Stella getting on base and scoring, and then Caesar hitting the grand slam that really just buried the Braves in that game. And same thing with Baez. I mean, they're just all so productive. They're all, you know, really good at defense. And it to me feels like, and I'm probably forgetting, you know, obviously, because I've kind of like have a bad memory, but this seems like right now, like the best bench that we've seen with the Cubs in, you know, a long, long time. I can't remember. Like, you're right, Kurt. Like, a guy would come in to pinch hit, and you're right, it'd be like slightly better than a pitcher. And now it's like these are guys that could be starting other places, and just using them, having them start once every 3 or 4 days or something, or in coming off the bench to pinch hit, like that's not hurting them. This, you know, so far, I mean, they've been able to like just step right in and produce at a, you know, pretty remarkable way.
Hopefully it continues.
Yeah. Yeah. We did get one email here from Kevin, and he asked if we're still doing the weekend by the lake or weekend at the lake, not by the lake. And yes, we are. We haven't really mentioned it lately, but it's August 12th through 14th. So, Kurt, why don't you explain what weekend at the lake is for new listeners?
Well, it's an entire weekend at a lake, which is pretty amazing. but yeah, the Corey has the fortunate opportunity to live near a lake that he pretty much owns, which is kind of incredible for the rest of us. So we can all gather out at Corey's place, do a little camping, a little fishing, swimming. We will record a podcast at some point during the weekend. Basically anything you might do around a medium-sized body of water, you could do it out there, and it's a ton of fun. whenever the game time happens to fall on that weekend, we head over to Duffy's in Galesburg, which you've heard us talk about a lot, and it's an incredible experience for a Cubs fan to go to a nice little towny bar, drink some cheap beer, good old style, watch Cubs game with a lot of Cubs fans. So all, you know, the whole weekend is really just like a perfect Midwestern Cubs experience out at Corey's place. So
yeah,
definitely come join us if you can.
Yeah. Yeah. And, we're also working on, doing the wiffle ball, game over at Michael's place again. And, our Michael, a listener here in the local area, from the Awesome 80s podcast, he built a wiffle ball field in his backyard, and it is incredible.
It's not just like, oh, he's got like a couple of cones in the backyard.
No,
it's an actual field.
There's a wall. There's a
mini
monster
style.
Yeah, there's foul poles.
There's a green monster in left field.
Right. It's pretty amazing. And so we're working on that. We may go over and play there. He has to work Friday, so we can't do it Friday night. So we may go over there and play there before we go to Duffy's, because honestly, we could play a game of wiffle ball and be sweaty and go into Duffy's and still be the best smelling people in there.
I don't know. Speak for yourself.
It'll be a lot of fun. It's also, they're playing the Cardinals that weekend, and I think it's like a mid afternoon game. So it's going to be a ton of fun, and about a dozen people have said that they're coming. The Facebook event has 38 people that have identified themselves as interested. So there's a lot of interest. I feel safe saying that now. There's a lot of interest in this. But it's like the fourth or fifth year we've done this. But sending an RSVP, not sending, you don't need to send an RSVP, but RSVPing on the Facebook event is really important for me because it kind of helps me plan things out. So if you're planning on coming or interested, and I suppose we should maybe say where this is. So I live near Galesburg, Illinois. So it's actually Amtrak comes through here. So if you live in the Chicago area, you can actually just take Amtrak straight down and we can pick you up at the train station. Yeah, please, if you're planning on coming or if you're now interested in it, please RSVP on the Facebook event, or you can email me, Corey, Corey, at ivnv.com. And you can get to the Facebook event by going to ivnv.com/lake, lake, L-A-K-E, like junior.
I thought it was L-A-Y-Q-U-E. I wasn't sure.
Okay. Actually, okay. So, So, Kurt, this is normally your segment, the scary stat of the week. I've kind of like barged into it recently. I've just seen things, and I'm good with that. Okay, so I'm going to take over tonight. So I have three scary stats. And like Junior Lake, one of these is about a former Cub. Actually, I'll do that one first because it doesn't really matter. But I was just thinking tonight, I was like, man, I haven't really heard much from Chris Coughlin. Have you guys?
No.
You're right. And so so I thought, well, I'm going to look him up. Small sample size, of course. Disclaimer here. He's hitting 155. He's with the A's, you know. 155. He has an OBP of 221, and he is slugging 352. His walk rate is half of what it was last year with the Cubs, and he's striking out 27% of his at-bats. He has a negative 0.2 war. So,
pretty good. Bad.
That's what's going on with Chris.
And he had a good spring training, I think. So, just to show you too, guys.
There you go.
Regular season is not spring training.
Yep. Okay, so here's my real two. The first one is that the Cubs are winning by an average of 3.6 runs per game. These stats were as of yesterday. And so to put that into perspective, so again, 3.6 runs per game. To put that into perspective, the Blue Jays had the best average margin of victory last year, and theirs was 1.4. So the Cubs are averaging two whole runs better than the best team last year. So that's one scary stat. Here's the other one. This one comes from Matthew Trueblood on Twitter. And he pointed out that the Cubs are 63-24 since Chris Bryant hit a walk-off against the Rockies last July. So here's the list of teams that have never gone 63-24 over 87 games. The White Sox, Rockies, Tigers, Astros, Angels, Marlins, Brewers, Mets, Phillies, Pirates, Padres, Rays, Rangers, Blue Jays, and Nationals. So,
is that all?
Yeah. So the Cubs have had a better stretch since last July than all of those teams have ever had over, you know, a minimum of 87 games.
Wow.
And so Matthew sent that one in?
No, he posted it on Twitter and I saw it.
Oh, I was just going to say, how does one find such a stat of someone's 87 game record?
Well, he's with Baseball Prospectus, so
there you go.
He knows
that's how you do it.
He knows how to navigate things better than we
can. There's a plug. Get yourself some play index.
Yeah. So those are my scary stats of the week.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for taking over for me.
No problem. Happy anniversary. That's my anniversary gift to you.
Thanks. I have been married and have celebrated fewer anniversaries than I have been years doing this podcast.
That's true. So, that's true.
I'm more experienced at podcasting than I am at marriage. For all of you listening, you're welcome.
Oh man. Okay, so
like a fossil in the podcast world.
Okay, so do you guys have any internet muscle flexes?
I have one. Yeah.
Okay, I have an absolute slew of them.
Oh. I just have one, and it's not. I mean, it's. I'll call it mediocre.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Mediocre, I'd say.
Go ahead.
All right, I'm gonna start. But going back to the Warren G incident, this guy's on Instagram says, "Stick with making terrible rap music. Don't bring your talentless self to the friendly confines anymore."
Flexed.
Yep.
Oh man, do you want to go, Andy?
I do. Yeah. Here's mine. This is on the post that the Cubs made about. The suit theme road trip.
Oh yeah.
All right. So here we go. So here's the commenter. Get owned by the worst team in MLB and play it off like a joke. This is why we need a new manager so we don't choke in the NLDS.
By saying we, that indicates this person is a Cubs fan, right?
I think so.
Oh, man. Oh, that's good.
Love it.
Oh, man. Okay, so mine are all about from Anthony Rizzo's Instagram post where he posted himself with a girl and basically announced to the world that he has a girlfriend. And the last I saw, that picture had like just under 1,000 comments.
So wait a second now, pump the brakes on that. I mean, did he exactly, I mean, he announced to the world that he had a date to a function, right?
I think he said something that indicated, I think he said like my, I think with he this said beautiful my, lady or something like that.
I thought he said my girl. Yeah, I don't know.
No.
What did he say?
I think he said, I'm blessed to go with this beautiful lady, something like that.
Well, you're not Anthony Rizzo and you throw that up on Instagram all casually like it's just my high school friend. No, it's nothing.
Okay, so right. Like I would say at least 95% of those comments were like crying face emojis from females and like people females like at mentioning their friends and saying your boy's cheating on you and stuff like that. So that was like 95% of it. And so I just screenshotted a bunch of other ones and not all these are going to make the cut. Some of them will be edited, I think. So basically that's just for the live viewers only. And by the way, we do these recordings live at 8 p.m. on Sunday nights. And our midweek episode is usually on Wednesdays. We do them on Blab and send out alerts. When we're about to go live, we send out those alerts on Facebook, Twitter, usually through our push notifications on our free iOS app. We also have an Android app, but Android doesn't allow for push notifications. So I'm just going to read through these. They're in no particular order. I don't have like a real strong one to end with, I think. It's just they're all right in a row. So this one I got to kick up. This person says my aunt, and he spells aunt, A-N-T.
No, of course he does. By the way, I mean, I can't even count the number of people on Cubs Facebook that spell Madden with an E. My God.
Okay, so this person says, my aunt want to know if you want to go out with her, you'd like her.
He has an ant farm. There's one ant that stands out above all the rest.
He chose the queen. She wants to go out with you.
This person says, look at this lovely Italian couple. I bet they have a killer gravy recipe.
What?
Of all things Italian, I go immediately to gravy. Those Italians and their gravy.
Well, I think it. Maybe that's what they call spaghetti sauce is gravy.
They do nothing well except gravy.
Oh, this person says, highly doubt it's anything special. A female that looks to be in her, you know, late teens, early 20s.
Late teens. She's 19.
Good Lord.
This person.
Oh, this is the commenter you're talking about, not the
right,
girl.
Right, sure. Right.
Okay.
This one says, Hosmer's got a ring and a hotter girl than you, bum.
What? Oh, man. What have you done with your life? Nothing.
Come on, Anthony.
And I think this is my last one here. And this person says, damn it, Anthony, no wonder your batting average sucks right now. And yes, wander with an A.
Stop wandering and get back into the batter's box and maybe your average will go up.
Oh. Like, how dare he have a girlfriend or a love interest? How dare
he wander?
His batting average is low.
Mm-hmm. He's not. He hasn't hit 8 home runs, but you know.
Right.
But to clarify, he did say bricks and ivy ball with my beautiful lady.
There you go.
I think the my implies.
Yeah.
This is a serious gig.
Yeah.
Okay. She looks like a lovely lady. I won't say a bad thing about her.
No.
No.
So this episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. A special thanks to our Hall of Fame level contributors, Jeremy, Dizzle, David, Chad, Dave, Adam, Elizabeth, Stephen, Richie, Jose, Todd, Justin, Stephen, Dan, Dallas, Charles, Stephen, Stuart, Guy, Peter, Matthew, Ron, Jane, Shane, Michael, John, Craig, Rick, Luke, Artie, Kevin, Tori, Josh, Michael, Barry, Howard, Matthew, Anthony, Joshua, Ryan, Brian, Andrew, Tim, Ryan, Tony, and the Quad City's own Jason Nunn. If you like what we're doing here at IVMV, you can support the show. Check out our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/IVMV, or you can go to IVMV.com and click on the Patreon link that's on the right side of the page. We'll be back with our midweek episode on Wednesday, and we'll be talking about the upcoming series with the Pirates and anything else that happens with the Cubs between now and then. If you enjoy what we're doing here, tell a friend that's a Cubs fan about our podcast. Thank you for listening and downloading, and until Wednesday night, go Cubs.
We're gonna pop champagne, gonna pop champagne by the lakeside.